Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and happy Mother's Day to all you mothers from yesterday. Happy Mother's Day. Everybody had a great weekend. And here we are once again, and of course, as we talked about on Friday and wrote Friday, that a bad jobs number would create a big rally, and sure enough, there is the big rally. So it shows you how warped and perverse our system is, that we can continue to see buying stepping in, and we can continue to see bad news be good news, all under the guise of it's free money. And, you know, it's interesting. I mean, again, I'm not surprised. I actually, like I said, I wrote it. I've said that, you know, for weeks now, that I think the proper side of the market to be on is the observation side. And I don't think that there's a lot to do here. I get people who write into me all the time telling me that the markets are going to go up. And I look at, if you've listened to me long enough, you know that I always say that the markets go up 9% year over year. They just don't go up every year. But do you think if you think that I'm going to put together new money to work up here without some sort of a strategy or a hedge, you're wacky tobacky. Again, I'm always investing, but I'm always hedging as well. I think that, you know, I think this is where you start to find out who understands the working of markets and who doesn't understand the working of the market. Certainly, if you're chasing here with greed and trying to, compound up monies that you didn't make because you haven't been in the market for a long time, and now you finally believe that it's going to go up, well, that is typically the first sign that the market's not going to go up much more. Okay? Again, when new money comes in late, that has not been in the market before, that is typically a warning sign that the markets are coming near an end. Now, again, I don't predict the market. I haven't tried to predict it at all. I mean, I am definitely playing it, you know, more dramatically from the short side. Now, if you remember, I'm always long the market through my retirement, through my pensions, and through everything else. So it's not like I'm selling everything. I'm not selling anything. Yeah, there's guys out there recommending that you sell and dump everything. And I don't believe in that. I believe in hedging it so you don't have to sell it. Okay? I mean, that is the more important key, is to protect what you have and not take the drawdown that is coming. And again, I'm not going to tell you when it's going to come. I mean, you've got those who believe in the sell in May and go away, and you've got those who believe in, you know, the terminal bears. And you know, I'm not a terminal anything. I'm a terminal when it's too high or too rich. I believe you got to be a terminal seller from the shorts, from the short term view. And when it's too cheap and too low, I think you got to be a buyer. And you know, again, that's just, I think that's just more common sense. I think it's just more understanding the market footprint that we look for, and not trying to guess the market. I mean, I'm not going to tell you when it's going to go up or when it's going to go down. I tell you in a short period of time. I can tell you by a footprint. I mean, I can tell you yesterday's sell-off in the morning was certainly something that you should have been buying. And in fact, we did. Okay, we did it live on the last of my futures calls, where we traded live. And we got stopped out twice trying to buy them. And then the third time, we finally were able to get in and stay there. Okay. But the point is, again, I'm not telling you to, you know, that we're going to crash or whatever. I mean, there's many out there that will. But, you know, if you remember about your investing and how to protect it, that becomes the bigger issue. I mean, but certainly you have to be somewhat concerned that mergers and acquisitions are bigger than research and development. that has to give you a little cause of concern. You have to be a little concerned that the markets themselves continue to go up based on bad news on the economy. Now, again, if you think about it, now we are not fundamental traders. We are not looking to trade fundamentally. But if you look at it from just this perspective, okay, eventually, you know, the fundamentals have to play in a market. Now, again, we're not calling for it now, and I'm not telling you that, you know, it's gone, and I'm not, you know, I'm not talking two-faced like our friends over at the Fed. I'm just telling you facts, okay, that eventually, you know, for many, many reasons, least of all, you know, being that it just happens, is that the markets are going to sell off. And again, I'm not going to create a warning or a panic here. I'm just saying, why not be wiser about it? That's my question to you. Not to worry about this, but if you believe in any of this crap that you hear, and you hear, you know, all these guys making these outlandish predictions, but if you believe any of them, that's fine. But why not protect yourself? I mean, you know, 50 years ago we didn't have seatbelts. Now you get in a car, you can't drive without a seatbelt, basically. I mean, motorcycle riders didn't wear helmets. So if technology allows you to do something to protect yourself, why wouldn't you do it? I think that's the bigger question. I mean, again, I'm not going to predict here what's going to happen. I mean, you know, this isn't a sporting event. Okay, I'm just telling you that, hey, you know, mathematically, your portfolio is going to probably take a hit. And the question is, do you want to take the hit with it, or do you want to be protected? And the only reason that you would want to be protected is because you're someone who doesn't want to make that decision when the market does go down, of whether or not to get out. So if you eliminate the spot to exit, then all you do is get to stay in. That's more of my point than anything else. I'm not telling anybody that. Listen, I believe in America. I believe that the markets will be fine after they do have this sell-off. But you cannot, as an investor, as a citizen, as a human, as a worker, be happy with the overall market dynamics, nor the overall environment of the middle class or anybody. Now, whether or not you're rich or not, that doesn't matter. But if you're rich, okay, and you own businesses, your businesses are probably down. Now, maybe you've been able to take advantage of the cheap money and do some buybacks and things like that. But again, at the end of the day, okay, we have to all know that that is not the healthiest thing we can be doing right now. We all have to know that there should be some sort of correction. And again, my issue is not whether or not it's going to come. I'm guaranteeing it's going to come. I'll guarantee to a 100% certainty. Okay. But I'll also tell you that you know, if you can prevent, okay, the drawdown that you'll have to take, wouldn't that be something that would make you happier and keep you in better shape? That's my concern, not whether or not we go down or not, because, I know that we're going down. Okay, again, it's not a question of if, it's a question of when. But again, I'm not calling for total destruction either. I'm not telling you to sell everything and get into gold and do all this and do all that. I'm saying, hey, if you've got a better way to protect yourself, why wouldn't you do that? Okay, that's all. No big deal, but why wouldn't you protect yourself if you could? Anyways, this is the Bubba Show, and I want to remind you to check out our friends at Thinkorswim. You know, they have swim lessons every single day. And my friend Scott and Keith really do a nice job at helping educate experienced and beginners on stocks, options, and futures. You know, they're one of the few places you can do all three. Very user-friendly. You know, my buddy JJ, you see him on the commercial all the time. I mean, you know, they're real. They're the real deal. And I would certainly check him out. Go to thinkorswim.com or go to my website, and I can help you get better rates. In the meantime, when you miss a Bubba Show, all you have to do is go to libertytalk.fm and download the podcast. As I've been telling you, we're over 200,000. You'd like to get to 3, so I need your help. Libertytalk.fm. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We will be back after the
day. Stay with me now. Listen up. This is philosophical.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it's time for the one, the only, the very talented, our ace, Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Ka-Ching Report. All over the world, you can see her coast to coast. What's up, Jane?
Oh, not much. Just another crazy week. You know, I was thinking this morning, Todd, I knew we were going to talk today, that we live in interesting times. I mean, almost every day lately, there's been something funny and interesting about the world going on, and tends to be more about the election than not these days.
You know, the election is interesting, and of course, you know, we saw Cruz throw in the towel, and now Kasich. So now, all of a sudden, there he is, Donald Trump. I mean, he's going to be the nominee, and I mean, obviously, he has a lot of good things to say. Now, I say, and I get your opinion, is that Donald Trump, as pompous as he is and as loud as he is, he's more like Ronald Reagan than any candidate we've seen in a long time, because he's really not that far right. He's really more down the center. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, he's now talking about he'd look at a minimum wage increase. That's certainly not something we see from the Republican Party. I mean, what I like about him, and I was listening to some of the commentary this week, and they were like, oh, well, his policies of foreign policy are to the left of Hillary Clinton, and what are you going to do if you're to the left of Hillary Clinton? And I was kind of like, you know, can we stop talking about left and right and who's to the left and right, and can we just work on solving problems? I mean, can we look at what's going on in the world and just figure out the best way to do it? I mean, when somebody's overseeing a company, they're not like, well, is this to the left or the right? I mean, they just try to figure out problems and do it. And I feel like he's a kind of a problem solver. And that's one thing I like about him.
I agree. I mean, look, the bottom line is, I don't care what side you're on. I don't care what you believe in, you know, in all the stupid issues that, you know, one side's got one issue. I mean, to me, that's all ridiculous. I mean, at the end of the day, we all have the same objective. We want to live a good life, make more money, and be happy. And does it really matter who satisfies that goal? I don't think anybody really cares. But, of course, you've got so much, you know, manipulation going on and so much money. I mean, can you imagine the base? This election is going to be, by the time it's done, it'll be about $3 billion for everybody. Now, of course, that money couldn't go to anywhere else to be used, right? I mean, we couldn't use that somewhere else to help out America, could we?
Well, and you know, I mean, he's interesting because he hardly paid anything during the primaries. I mean, he's so different than anybody else out there. Like, he will call in to talk shows and they'll put him on the air. He agrees to almost every interview. I mean, my impression, he's agrees to everything he's got time for and is able to do. And everybody else is so calculated. And, you know, and Hillary Clinton is the biggest one at this. I mean, can you tell me when she's done an interview lately or a press conference? I mean, it's just, I mean, she's on Twitter a little bit, but I'm sure that's, you know, approved by 9 different people before it goes out. I like the fact that you really get a feeling you know who he is. Like with her and some of the Republican candidates as well, everything seemed so, like, computer programmed. And it just, you know, people are just tired of that. I mean, they're tired of it, and they're tired of everything being screened and calculated, and they want something honest.
Well, I think that was one of the problems with Ted Cruz. I think he was too much of a machine. He was too perfect. Everything he did was just was too perfect. It was like, you know, he was the debate. Everything was like totally calculated and planned. And of course, you know, we have the markets are struggling a little bit right now. But is there something on the horizon that you see that's going to snap us out of the doldrums? I mean, you know, again, we're still near the record highs, but is there something you see that, you know, and you're coast to coast, so that out there that says, you know what, we see the light of things going to get better here? Anything you see?
Well, good question. I mean, there are small things here and there, but in terms of the real problems that we have in the economy, I mean, those are structural, and they're going to take will in Washington, and they're going to take, you know, generational differences. I mean, I certainly don't see millennials being able to come in and shake things up. I mean, there was a story in the Wall Street Journal today about how people running in races and marathons is down. Millennials don't want to run in races. They want to do fitness classes that are non-competitive. and debt. And it just so fits that generation. Like, it's very, like, got some tinges of socialism to it. And so I don't think that they're going to be the ones that are going to be out there, like, innovating and changing things. So I think, you know, we're going to wait to see something happen. But in terms of different sectors, I think oil probably has hit a bottom. And I, you know, wish I would have bought it in January. But I know people who did and have done well with it. And we've got the Canadian oil sands issue, which is just driving oil prices up higher. Commodities, maybe in general. Gold is going to be interesting. But I think until we get some tax reform, some education reform, probably some political reform, I don't think we're going to really see the U.S. grow robustly again.
Well, now, you know, Warren Buffett had his annual meeting last week. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm a big anti-Warren Buffett guy. I mean, I don't take anything away from his intelligence. I mean, obviously, smart guy. But, you know, I get really irritated when I hear this guy speak. And again, you know, everybody wants a flat tax. At least every Republican wants a flat tax. Just makes it easy. Mm-hmm. Boom. You know, you make $100,000, you pay $15,000. Boom. It's done. You don't have to think about it, right? So he comes out, and of course, he doesn't want that because it takes away some of his advantages, in my opinion. But he says, well, if we go to a flat tax, and my maid would be paying the same percentage that I'm paying. Well, isn't that what's fair and equal about America, is that we all pay the same rate? You can make as much money as you want, but you're still paying 15%. I mean, you know, so does it matter? I guess I'm asking you, does that bother you that he gets involved and he wants us to pay more taxes, but yet he finds every way to not pay taxes? Or am I nuts? Well, I am nuts, but besides it.
Well, no, you know, I used to be a huge Warren Buffett fan. I've become less so over the last few years, just because of things like this. And, you know, I met him. I still like him. Obviously admire what he's done. And used to be a Berkshire Hathaway shareholder. But I, in general, just support a flat tax. I mean, to me, it just seems the tax code's ridiculous. I mean, what is it, like 8,000 pages? I mean, it's just insane. And it's, you know, every year I spend so much time and energy putting together the stuff for our accountant, and it just seems like it's overly complicated. I mean, and I think people would feel like they had a much, like a bigger stake in the future of the country if they really knew where the money was going. And you don't really know unless it's simplified. So, yes, I do support a flat tax. I mean, there's a lot of things in there that are trying to incentivize people to do things like buy homes and do, well, you know, it doesn't do any good. You can't buy a home if you don't have your income going up. So it's, you know, it's stuff like that that doesn't seem to really be working like it used to. And I don't know if it'll ever happen, a flat tax. There's so much against it in Washington, and I imagine the accountants would just hate it. But I think that it would be good for our economy.
Well, I mean, I think it'd be great because, again, it would just take away, because everybody would just pay their taxes. I mean, truthfully, you could actually pay your taxes pay as you go, right? I mean, an employee could just have the 15% per check deducted. That would be the end of it, and it would be over. You know,
yeah.
I just think
there's so many things I would love to see. Like, I wish that we could actually see that implemented and see the ripple effect that it would have. But, you know, we won't. We will never see that. But I just, I think that something like that would really help the economy. Everybody would understand it much more. Everybody feels like they're getting cheated. And, you know, but Washington and this society these days doesn't take the simple solution, but they should.
Well, they just want to continue to grow government, which is another problem. I mean, you know, we just continue to get to breed more socialism. And you mentioned, you know, that nasty word. But, you know, did you know that there was a Harvard study that there's kids, people from 18 to 29 are not interested in capitalism at all?
Yeah, I did hear that. It's, you know, here's the thing. I mean, when you're 20 years old and all you basically ever known up into that age, and I was the same way, was growing up in your parents' house and spending a couple years in college surrounded by professors who are socialists many times. That's all they know. And they, you know, it's unfortunate. And, you know, I've been thinking lately, like, my kids are going to be going to college in 10 years. And it's like, I don't want them to go to these colleges where there's these safe spaces and they're not taught about capitalism. And what was the thing just out this week? Mike Bloomberg spoke and he got booed. But there was something else this week. And it seems like every day there's some story out about some university that's banning this speaker or banning that speaker or teaching this or teaching that. And I'm like, I don't want my kids to go to school like that. I want them to go to a school where they learn about all economic things, the good and the bad about all of them. And that's when you're truly educated, not when you're shut off by different philosophies. So I can't even believe what's going on in our universities. It's tragedy.
Jane King, thank you so much. You're awesome. And thanks for a wonderful finish. Jane King, Lila Max Media, I appreciate you. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be back after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Margie said Roy.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it's time for the one, the only, our technical researcher, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. What's up, Matt?
Not much. How's it going, Todd?
Everything's going good. A little disappointed in last week's action. I thought we had something going, and I thought that, I knew actually with the bad jobs number that there was going to be a rally. In fact, I wrote it Friday morning. That if the numbers were bad, they were going to rally, and of course they did. But I think the rally looked pretty stinky and pretty bad. And I think we're headed in the direction that you've been saying. And I know that you've got some stuff to say about what's going on. So what did you see last week?
Well, I mean, technical indicators are a little bit oversold, so I think a bounce makes sense too. And I was thinking the same thing when we got the weaker number that we should get a little bit of a bounce out of it. So, I actually expect the bounce to continue a little bit further. But then I think we just resume the downtrend.
And so when you look for your bouncer, what do you think you're looking for? How far do you think they would possibly bounce from here?
I think it depends on which index. But I don't think that, for example, I think the Nikkei is going nowhere. And I think the S&P could make a slightly higher high. But I'd say the Nikkei is the most bearish. The S&P is probably the most bullish. The S&P almost completed to the upside the way I wanted to at the peak. But I think it could go slightly higher. But really, the Dow, for example, has already peaked, I believe. I don't think that can go any higher. So some U.S. indices are done, and some aren't totally complete. I think we're looking at a pretty violent move down.
Well, but let me ask you this. So you talk about the Dow being, potentially peaking, but the Dow is pretty related to the S&P.
I mean,
obviously all 30 Dow stocks are part of the S&P, right?
Right.
So you're looking at it saying those 30 stocks have peaked and the index can go higher? I mean, because the correlation, I actually do a pairs trade. Dow futures against the S&P futures. When I want to be bullish, I buy the S&P and sell the Dow. When I want to be bearish, I buy the Dow and sell the S&P. Because typically that's the relationship, and they, it's like a big rubber band. They go back and forth between there. So, to me, if the S&P makes a high, I think that the Dow almost has to make a high with it, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's, I mean, honestly, that's a problem I'm dealing with. I don't understand the Dow peaked perfectly. What was it, back on April 29th, something around there. It hit exactly where it needed to hit. It completed the pattern for me. I just don't think it can go any higher. The S&P missed by, I'd say, 10 points. So I don't know how we're going to get the extra 10 points in S&P and not make a new high in the Dow. I agree with that. It's something I'm having a problem with, but that's just what the charts are telling me.
The beauty of what you do is you don't argue with the charts. I mean, you can only trade what you see. So I get that. I once in a while try to be logical about it and go, you know, I know the relationship, but I could see it as well. You know, there was a time, and just to kind of give all the listeners an idea of what I'm talking about so we can, you know, move on. But right now, the S&P contract itself is worth, let's say, $105,000, you know, on a one lot. And the Dow contract is worth, I think, about 85,000 or whatever the hell it was, 90,000 maybe. So it's about a $15,000 spread between the two. Now that usually generates, goes back and forth, and you know, a standard deviation or a move during a day could be anywhere, usually a couple hundred bucks one way or the other, which is why I'm able to trade that spread. But we had at the bottom of the market in 2009, the Dow was actually, they inverted. And the Dow was actually worth more than the S&P at one point. So you can see, as we've rallied, that the S&P continues to pull away from the Dow. But they are certainly, out of all the indexes, the two most correlated. So, you know, again, do you consider a 10 points, which is, you know, less than 0.2%, or 0.5%, sorry, that's really not considered a top yet? Do you really think it has to get right up to that top?
No, I don't think it I don't think it has to, but that's, you know, that would be perfection for what I'm looking at. That would be my ideal. The problem I'm having with, and then I would say the Dow should go higher as well, but the problem with the Dow is that it's got a very discrete bearish pattern that it completed just almost ideally. And if we break, you know, it could stretch maybe another 20, 30 points, but if we go, say, 50 points higher than the prior high, it'll break the pattern for sure. And that I don't want to see.
Right. Well, of course, we never want to see that. And, of course, volatility still remains, you know, relatively muted. I know that the commitment of traders, they continue to pile on with more volatility futures, yes.
They just continue to pile on. I mean, you know, last week was a record, at least for the last 3 years. I haven't gone much further back than that. But we've hit a new record this week. So last week was a record. Now we're up to a new record. These guys are really, you know, have really piled into volatility futures. There's 16, it's about 16 to 20,000 contracts more than they were this time last year when, you know, just before we peaked last year.
Now, when you look at your charts and you're looking at the information, what we really still have not seen, in my opinion, and maybe I'm wrong, but we haven't really seen the price volatility yet. We have, you know, right. You can kind of see where you kind of get some of these whips, but basically the market has still been, for example, on Friday, you know, during the jobs, it was straight down, then straight up. And there was very little price movement, you know, when you look at the size of the indexes. Once we went straight down and straight up, you know, there was, you know, maybe a, you know, 40-point break. But, you know, again, when you're up at these numbers, a 40-point break is nothing, right?
Right. I mean, it's been a pretty controlled, you know, move down. It hasn't really, you know, gotten wild yet. So, this really hasn't been very volatile. But I expect that we are going to get another, you know, what was it, back in August we had, you know, was it 4 days we dropped 8 or 9%. So I think we're going to get something like that coming up. I don't know if it's going to be, we're going to have a bounce first, I believe, but then, you know.
All right. Well, I mean, again, that, you know, one of the things I try to teach everybody is, you know, markets don't go straight up or straight down. They, even if they're starting to head lower, there is some big moves, and you should never worry about if you miss the first move because you're going to get another chance. And typically what usually happens is the emotions take over with most people and they go, oh, well, maybe this is really the rally.
maybe that was a sell-off and it's over, so let me step in and buy. And of course, that's really what creates the emotional trade. But what do you think here, you know, as we move into, you know, the holiday season, you know, and then of course the summer is always a little bit slower, you know, and we've got troubles abounding everywhere. And of course, does it bother you that the other indexes are so weak, and that even though I can't exactly say the U.S. markets are bullish, but they are better than the others around the world. Is that going to cause us any problem, you think?
With the U.S. stocks being stronger?
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, obviously, if people are looking to invest, you know, there's a Stanley Druckenmiller came out and said, you know, he called it Tina. There's no alternative.
Right.
So, you know, is that any at all a problem in your mind, or is it just going to trade the way it's supposed to trade anyways?
I think it's just going to do what it's going to do. I mean, I think, the U.S., you know, for example, if we compare our market versus other markets, I mean, Europe is down, but, you know, I think over 10% year to date, whereas we're only down, you know, 1%, 2%. Well, after this past week, a little bit more, but you know, I think we're going to continue to be the strongest market. I think, you know, Europe, Asia is going to be a lot worse. There's more downside coming there. Same thing here. I think, but when the S&P drops, I want to see how things look when we get close to the prior lows. So I'm expecting that they may hold, but I want to, you know, get down there first and see if, all the indicators, you know, have room left to run at that point. But I think we're going to break the new lows in Europe. Same thing in Japan. Same thing in China. But I think we might, you know, stay above those prior lows.
All right. Again, it's obviously, you know, the lack of volatility, even though the big guys are buying a lot of volatility futures, but there's still a big lack of volatility, which is always a creation and doesn't make it harder to see these bigger moves, because we need volatility, we need some fear, we need some action to actually create that next move. So what are you looking for here in the near term this week? A little bit higher, you said?
Yeah, a little bit higher. It might last, you know, a week, maybe even two, but then I think, you know, we roll back over again and drop. Timing is the most difficult thing to figure out, but price is a lot easier for me than time. But I think that's probably the ballpark.
Well, no, I mean, again, obviously the timing is always tough. I mean, we both know the markets are going to collapse at one point, because they always do. This is not like a shock. It's not like a news flash. I mean, markets always collapse and they always come back. And of course, you know, over time, they end up rallying. But you know, that it's just, it's interesting. And this is something we'll get back to after the break. We're talking with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Very, very solid in his analyzing of the markets. And of course, he's going to tell us about his gold special, which he's still got going on. And we're going to talk more about the currencies and the gold when we come back from the break. This is The Bubba Show. Make sure, if you ever miss an episode, LibertyTalk.fm. You can download the show every day. We've been pushing to get to 300,000. We're now over 200,000 downloads a month. We're looking to get to 3, so make sure you're one of it. We will be back at the break with more from Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We will be right back. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. Check him out. Regular here on the show and always brings us some great technical information that gives us some great movement. But Matt, I know that before we get into the dollar, because I do want to talk about that, but you are offering a gold special, and you know, gold's been pretty strong lately and been able to manage to hold above here. And I know you believe that the low is not in yet, but you're looking for a breakdown to complete the cycle and then become a buyer. So tell us about the special.
Right. So, you know, as I've been saying each week, I do not believe that gold has bottomed. I think that there's one lower low to come, and that's where we're going to load up and get long gold for our service. So what we're offering is a gold bottom call, where we just send out an email alert and a text message alert, where we say, look, our bottom line has been hit. gold has bottomed, and now we should have a rally. And the special that we're running, the alert service, we don't. It's free unless we're right. So if we're right with our call, when we say, you know, gold is at a bottom, we have to be right within 3%. So that's about $30 if you're talking about $1,000 price in gold. And then we need to rally 20% from that point to be considered correct with the call. So that's the service, and it's if we're right on both counts, our margin of error and the rally of at least 20%, then we're going to charge $49, which is, you know, fairly nominal for...
That's like free. I mean, obviously, if they're right and you believe in the technical analysis, which we do, that's part of the basis of the Bubba Show, is technical analysis, then it's a no-brainer, and I encourage you guys to check it out. And I also encourage you to check out demeterresearch.com. But, okay, so, Matt, you said that you felt that the dollar was, that the euro currency, was really toppy, and, of course, it got hammered pretty good last week. What's your think on follow-through, and what's your think of the dollar? And give us your views right there, please.
Well, the euro has definite resistance right around 116, which is what, you know, we were saying in our update last week. We got up to 116 and overnight on, I think it was Tuesday night. And then we got short and, you know, just falling back now. But I think there's going to be more follow through to the downside. I think the dollar is going to rally. I don't know if it's going to be, you know, just straight up move for the dollar. We might have to, you know, chop for a while, may go up here, may come back down. There's rising support coming in the dollar right around 90, but it rises 1 point per month. So we bottomed in the dollar 91.90-ish. So it might take 2 months for that rise in support to come in. But then I still think there's a reasonable chance the dollar makes it to a new high, new recent high, before we get a big, you know, before it rolls over and turns into something, you know, much more negative.
And I wouldn't be surprised that I keep marking when I do my weekly call every Monday. I keep marking it. I put a big X up there. And right now I'm like 8 weeks in a row saying it's going to get up to here. And, you know, I do believe it will eventually get up there. And, of course, oil has been very stubborn up here at this, you know, between 44 and 46. And I personally believe, and I think you do as well, that oil has probably reached the peak in the proper side of this trade if you're going to be in it. So the short side, what do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think oil, you know, it hit our target high, which was right around 46 and went slightly past. The indicators that I wanted to peak at certain levels, they did. So now it's really well set for, you know, move down. And I think that's what we're going to get. I think, you know, it may hold in here a little bit longer. You know, if we are going to get a bounce in the S&P and you know, and equities in general, you know, that doesn't really... Recently, oil and you know, stocks have been well correlated, but you know, if that correlation holds up, it's fine. Oil can chop sideways while equities bounce a bit, but then, you know, they should both roll over.
Well, I mean, I do look again. I look at certain things when I'm trading, and I go, you know, my risk in oil would be if I was long. I think I have more punishment to the downside than I have risk to the upside. So if I just took a position, I think that's the way it would be. And then, you know, the grains have been really stubborn, but, you know, the soybean market, in my opinion, and I know you like wheat still, I believe, but the soybean market has been really interesting. And to me, from my perspective, that looks like that's toppy action. It looks like the end of short covering coming in the bean market. And I look for a big drop in beans, whereas I do look for either wheat to hold or to make a big rally. What are you seeing?
I see it the same way. You know, if you look at on this one, I'm kind of switching over to just looking at the indicators, the price pattern as well. But I'll get to why I said that a second. But basically, yes, soybeans are well extended to the upside, both daily and weekly indicators I look at. So, you know, pretty long term, it should, you know, it's pretty extended. It should fall. And wheat's in, you know, more or less neutral as far as the indicators go, but it's on price support where it closed last week. So Yeah, we actually put on a pair trade where we're long wheat and short soybeans. We tried this once before. We just broke even. We're going to try it again. And I think soybeans may have a slight, you know, could make a slightly higher high, but then they're going to roll over. But, you know, one non-confirmation, which was a bit interesting for me, was looking at the bank participation report. If you look at the bank's positioning in soybeans, they're actually still very long. And this may be maybe more of a long-term position for them. Interestingly, if you compare that to the COT report, which includes both the banks and, you know, the hedgers, the actual producers, then you see that the producers, that full category of producers and anybody considered commercial, they're heavily short. So you know, if the banks are long, if the, you know, it seems like the producers are short, it's kind of, you know, I'm just going to call it they're not confirming each other, so I'm not going to use that anymore. But the price action and the indicators still say we're in a drop in soybeans.
Well, and I agree. I mean, I think that they've had, you know, listen, we've had a 35% rally from the recent bottoms. And, you know, there is nothing that really should push it up higher, especially if you take in the general economy. I know we're not doing that. We're looking at the chart. But, you know, you look at certain things, and the rise has been, I mean, the move that it made is unsustainable. And that's one thing you always have to understand is when you're looking at a chart, they cannot go parabolic forever. They have to slow down, if at worst, go into a consolidating range anyways. And, right. You know, are you looking at the overall, you know, bond picture? I know we talked a while ago, and you said that you felt bonds were going to meet the you thought bonds were going to start into a bear market, which would mean interest rates were going to rise.
Right, right.
That opinion.
Well, this is, I think, the biggest trade out there. I mean, maybe there's, you know, bigger than, you know, the precious metals or you know, same level of how big it's going to be. I mean, the pattern we're talking about with the 10-year rate is what I'm actually looking at. The 10-year rate, you know, has been falling since 1981. It's, you know, we're going on 35 years of a bull market in long-term treasuries. That's amazing, like how long that's been. And the pattern itself goes back to the early 60s. So it's really a, you know, for me, it's the biggest pattern I have. It's you know, over 50 years. So, you know, there's some margin for a pattern that big, or some, you know, wiggle room for small moves. I think we're going to get one more peak in the treasury market, meaning, you know, one more trough in rates. I think, you know, rates are going to go probably a little bit lower than they did in February when we got down to 1.56. And then I think, you know, we're going to, you know, we've been waiting years for this. People have been talking about it for years, you know, that when's the treasury market going to, you know, turn into a bear market? And I think this is the year. I think we're almost there.
And I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, we're running out of time, but when I first started trading, the treasuries, the 30-year was at 5,500.
Right.
Now it's 160 something. And of course, they thought that we weren't going to need the treasuries anymore, and they got rid of them. But I see actually the 10-year. I look for 125 is my call in the treasuries when they bottom in the 10-year. And I think that's what we'll see. But Matt, always great to have you. Looking forward to the gold call. Looking forward to next week because, again, I see some things happening, and I think we're going to see a lot of action. Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. Always a pleasure to have you on. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Todd.
This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. It's always great to have Matt and his perspective. And he's, again, you can tell he just, matter of factly, he just tells you what he's seeing. And that's what we like, because it is all about the technicals. The fundamentals don't mean a lot when you're looking at technical analysis. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. Make sure you download every day the podcast at libertytalk.fm. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Have a great day. Thank you so much. Todd Horowitz. Todd Bubba Horowitz. The Bubba Show.
Put some feel good in my soul.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.